the Christmas season. We're in the Christmas season, and it's dated on the 25th of December, and today is what, the 17th or 18th? I want you to know that there's no scripture for that. This is not to put it down or denigrate it. It's just to indicate the Bible doesn't say what date Jesus was born, and that is deliberate. If he doesn't put it down, he doesn't want to put it down. It's not like, he thought, well, let's see, I forgot about that. He didn't forget. He deliberately didn't say. Okay? He gives you the season, but not the exact date. So how exact and how inexact is he? Because however he does it is the way I want to does it. Another, you see what I'm saying? No, everybody has one. Everybody has one. Except Colleen. Colleen. All right. It may be David Halverson. No, there's only three pages. Yeah. Okay. All right. God, I've made a six-page, that is three pieces of paper written on two sides, summary of what I'm going to teach today. So you don't have to listen so closely because it's written down. Nevertheless, I usually add a ton of things to whatever I'm teaching to be more precise. When God wants to be exact, he's exact, and the third chapter of Luke is fairly exact, but not exactly exact. Not like we would do today, to say at 10:30 and so on. But sometimes the Bible says that at 9 o'clock in the morning. That would be really exact. Then it would tell you what day it fell on, Pentecost. I mean, that is exact. You cannot find that, however, in the case of Jesus' birth. Moreover, the early church never celebrated Jesus' birth. Moreover, there's nothing in the whole of Scripture that says anything about remembering his birth. So birth is in a totally different category for the Holy Spirit, for God, than is death. We are to remember his death until he comes. So death definitely is to be remembered. And it happens at Passover, definitely tied down. And on a certain day, at a certain time. We call it Good Friday. We even have the time of the day. So death is more important than birth in the eyes of God. Now, that doesn't mean you can have a death without a birth. He has to come into the world, and the Bible's very clear that he came. And all I'm trying to point out is something very insignificant, but significant. I'm making something significant out of it. You can't say it's on December 25th and then give a date. We don't even know what year he was born. Some say the 4th, 4 BC. Some say the 3rd. Some say the 6th. And people have different times. But whatever it is, it's about that time. About that time. Notice the word about is not exact. And the Holy Spirit knows how to use the word about. And when he uses the word about, I'm going to use the word about. I'm not going to be exact where he's not exact. Now some say that Jesus was born in the winter. That's the traditional view. And they identify it even more closely with winter solstice, okay, which is usually like the 21st of December. And some locate it right on it, and some notice that that is also the time of sun worship, when the sun worshipers would gather together and worship the sun. Well, Jesus is the sun, but he's not that kind of sun. So when you're worshiping the sun, are you worshiping the sun or are you worshiping the sun? Which sun? And if Jesus wants to cause confusion, he certainly would do it right there. The Emperor Constantine, for example, never was baptized until just before his death, preferring to worship the sun god his entire life, even though he called himself a Christian. I ask you, what kind of Christian is that? And, the church of his day spoke highly of Constantine as though he were King David. a kind of a David, but I think he would be more akin to a King Devil, but not King David. And we suffer much from human tradition. We suffer much from human tradition. However, having said that, so we don't want to idolatrize something that God hasn't clearly spoken and commanded. Now, if God's commanded it, said, I was born on the 25th of December, and I want you to remember me every year, we would all do it. And we do do it, but we don't do it because it's true. We do it because the focus is not on his birth. The focus is on something else. Okay? The fact that he came into the world is very important. Exactly when he came into the world is less exacting. So I'm gonna prove to you something now, show you something. Look how exact God can be when he wants to be. Luke, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea. So now we know exactly, there's two guys right there. We know that Pontius Pilate, for example, started in 26 AD. We know that Tiberius was the emperor at that time. He was the Caesar. So Tiberius Caesar. And Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip. So we know this is not Herod the Great, the one at the birth, but this is a different Herod. This is some years later. As a matter of fact, it's like 30 years later, like almost about. Okay? So it's when Jesus begins his ministry. This is the time. Forget when he was exactly born, and that's why you can. You know, I just cheated by dating it. And so then I can just drop back 30 years and figure out when he was born. And I believe that's about as good as you can get to say it's probably about 4 BC. And many have agreed with me on that, but some want him to be born at Day of Atonement in the fall. Others want him to be born at winter. Others want him to be born in the spring. You can have him born just about any time you want since there's no exact date. Just kind of make it up. And there's no scripture for it. But I'm going to give you the only scripture that is even close to being accurate, and it's not December 25th. It's not the winter solstice. It's not sun worship time. So let's look at that. And again, my purpose is I don't even care about it. Do you know why I don't care about it? Because God doesn't care about it. If he cared about it, he would say so. So since he doesn't care about the exact date and celebrating it every year, since he doesn't, then we need to be careful. Now, that doesn't mean I won't teach and say Merry Christmas and all this kind of stuff. What it means is we're using that as a teaching tool to the pagans, to the world out there. But to ourselves, we ought to know better. This is probably not the time. Now, I'm going to show you the only scripture that I know of that might indicate when the time was. This one right here. So we did Philip, the tetrarch of Iturea, the region of Trachonitis, Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, which, as I mentioned, is right here in Texas. No, it's not. It's in the Holy Land. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest. I mean, this is really tying it down tight. This is as tight as you can get. It's telling you everybody who was contemporary and alive at that time. And by saying 15th year, that is really locating it. Okay? The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Okay? The word of God came to John. Now, John is John the Baptist. So John the Baptist, boy, it's telling you exactly when his ministry begins. Exactly 15th year of Tiberius. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So basically, the word repentance, I've changed it for you so it's no longer a negative word. It just simply means change your mind. Instead of being depressed, be happy. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you stop your sinning or else you're going to hell. It does not mean that. Here, listen carefully. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, something good. The kingdom of God's at hand. not repent, because the kingdom of God's at hand, and you're going to get a whipping. That's the way some kids, when dad comes home, they're expecting to get a whipping. But a good father, when the father comes home, the little kid's eyes light up. Wow, daddy's here. You know, and it's a good thing, right? We don't want to, your dad's coming, you're getting a whipping. And that's the way it is in some families, is boy, when your dad gets home, you're going to be spanked. And so the kid is looking forward to dad coming home all day long so he gets spanked. I mean, that is not good news. You see what I'm saying? We didn't raise our kids that way. I mean, my wife did say, you know, dad's going to spank you when you get home, but she didn't make it like an ogre thing so that I walk in and grab the stick and spank him. It should be a happy time when the father comes home. Amen? When father comes home, it ought to be a happy time. So when John says repent, what he's saying is stop being burdened down by sin and worry and care and the devil and get over on God's team. Repent, for the kingdom of God's at hand. And Jesus repeated that. Jesus repeated that same thing John said. So it can't be negative. Repent, for the kingdom of God's at hand. In other words, that's a good thing. Repent, meaning stop living in your own kingdom, which is darkness and terrible, and here, take God's kingdom. It's wonderful. Change your mind. You've been content with living in the world kingdom. Well, it's not helping you. Get over into God's kingdom. It's a better deal. Amen? So repenting actually means stop thinking what you're presently thinking, because what you're presently thinking isn't for your good. And start thinking of something else which is for your good. Because his thoughts toward you are always thoughts of peace. They're always positive. They're always good news. They're always, you know, for you. And as a parent, I think I can say this literally. I never had a negative thought toward my kids. I might have for their behavior, but never toward them. Right? Aren't you that way? I mean, you don't have negative thoughts. And if you're a good parent, the bad parents do, because they're selfish and it's totally for themselves. But I always had thoughts of peace toward my kids. And I always wanted them to win. I always wanted them to, if they were in trouble, I'm in trouble. You know, I mean, I care about their trouble. If they owe something, I owe it. You know, if they're needing a loan, I make it. You know, whatever. And so I care for my kids. And Peggy does too. You know, and whatever they want, she's going to do it. She'll take them to Six Flags or, you know, Wet and Wild or whatever. And she's always, you know, going to all their ball games and everything and so on and so forth. So she just loved them. And even to this day, if they're going to come over, she just drops everything to be with them. That's good. That is not bad. That's good. That is like God. And so if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more the Heavenly Father? Amen? Isn't that powerful? So for us, everything about God's coming into the world is good news. There isn't anything negative at all associated with it. There's nothing negative. So shouldn't that be the experience of Christians and their families? Is everything about God's coming into the world being positive, then everything about us should be positive. Whenever I come into a room, wherever I go, it ought to be good news. Does that make sense? You know, so when the kids see me, it's good news. You know, dad's going to give us something, or hug us, or love us, or, you know, whatever. Hey, how you doing? You know, it's going to be pretty exciting. Because I happen to like my kids a lot. And I pray for them. I think about them. And I'm always trying to bless them. They don't even want a lot of the stuff. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, can I fix your car? It's broken. No, dad, it's okay. I'll take care of it. I know, but I could fix it for you. No, dad, I'll take care of it. Because they want to be mature. They want to be on their own. They don't want to have dad always taking care of them. See what I'm saying? I mean, my daughter worked, all of my kids worked their way through school. And we could afford to do it. They just didn't know we could. Because we wanted them to have their own independence so they didn't depend on parents. You know, so many kids today just didn't, the parents just indulge them, you know. But actually, we could have and wanted to. We would discuss it. Should we buy the car for her or make her pay for it herself? Should we pay for all of her schooling or make her work so that she doesn't have time to do a lot of socializing and, you know, get into all kinds of corrupt things and so on? And we had to discuss all that. But whatever we did was for their good. In our mind. In our mind. Well, God's thoughts toward you are always thoughts of peace. He's all he's ever thinking about is, let me think, she's sleeping now. When she wakes up, what blessing could I give her? You know, that's all God's ever thinking about. Every day, it's a new blessing. Love it. And they're free. You know, they don't cost. Like, I hope tomorrow I can give them a good spanking. That's not God's thought. That's not God's thought. Hello? Y'all, it's simple. It's simple. I know it's simple, but simple things are all that count. If you get the attitude of God down correctly and see what how he's looking at you, you meditate on that then. You know, God is for me. If God be for me, who could be against me? He's God. He's almighty, all powerful, all wise, all good, all everything. So I get all of that on my side. I'd like to have that on my side. Then would I ever be afraid of death? Would I ever be afraid of poverty? Would I ever be afraid of sickness? Would I ever be afraid of people hating me? Would I ever be afraid of going insane? No, I'm not afraid of anything. Why? I got a good God. I got a good God. That's the way little kids are. Except as you become, as a little child, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Little kids don't think about anything or figure anything out. They just know, mom, dad, they work that stuff out. They don't even think about where it all comes from. They don't even know where their clothes comes from or their food or their bedding or, you know, the showers they have. They don't think about anything. They just go around enjoying themselves. Isn't that great? That's exactly what I want as a parent. I don't want them to think, you know, I gave you all that. I don't want them to think about that. I don't want them to think about that. I just delight to do it without getting any credit. Do y'all see that? I love to do things that they don't even know about secretly. They don't even know the millions of things that we've done for them. And they never are. You know, like when you're carrying the baby around, you know, and you're thinking someday they'll appreciate, you know, that I had to be up all night. They're not. They're not going to ever appreciate that. They won't even remember it, for one thing. They won't even remember it. They just take you for granted. But I want the kids to take me for granted. That doesn't bother me. You know, I want them to be able to yell at me or whatever they want to do. It's okay. They're my kids. I like them. They can't mess up. There's nothing my kids could do. Even if they hated me and despised me, there's no way I would outdo them. I would get down on my knees before them and say, "You're right. It's all my fault. I'm taking the whole blame for it." I would do it. I have done it. My kids, they could blame me all they want. I'll take it. I want them to blame me. It doesn't bother me at all. "Dad, it's not our fault. It's yours." Good. Let me hear that. I'll admit that. I'll do it. Not because it's true. I don't care about that. I'm not interested in right and wrong. You know what I'm interested in? Relationship. I just want them to know I love you. I'm always for you. You know, whatever the thing is, I'll pay for it. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Don't you love being parents? I mean, it's a natural. You can be Chinese and not a Christian at all and still be a good parent. So God is like that. God's like that, only he's even better. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, and you do, you are evil and you do give good gifts. Well, God, how much more the Heavenly Father will give to you unstintingly to anyone who asks him. "God, could you help me out here? I know I'm not one of your guys, but just help me." He'll do it for a stranger. He's always trying to help out. He gives you freebies before you didn't even qualify. You could be a sinner, and he'd show kindness to you. Isn't that amazing? Most of us haven't, we haven't extended our love out that far. Instead of me and mine and, you know, that's it. But, you know, actually, the more you fall in love with Jesus, you find you can not only love your own family, you can actually love a few neighbors. And pretty soon you start including some poor people. And pretty soon, you know, before you know it, you can include all kinds of people in it. My mom, wherever she went, I mean, wherever she went, if she wrote a check, she would write, "God bless you, sweetheart," or something. She'd write on anything she would do, every book she has or anything, she's always writing all over it. And any contact she'd make, she'd say, "Well, God bless you, sweetheart," you know, and she'd just come up to you and so on. And she'd go up to anybody, perfect stranger, doesn't even know them. Give them a, what did she call those, scrubby things? Scrubbies or something like that. "So I made this for you." And, you know, my mom is, you know, she's cute. She's just, "I made this for you," you know. And that was a delight for her to do it. I mean, That's just love. Amen. So there's a joy here. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. This is a good king. Most kings aren't that good. This is a good king. All right. Now let's look at this bad king time. Caesar, Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, all these guys. And a bad church time, Annas and Caiaphas, they weren't even of the Jewish tribes that they were supposed to be. Did you know the kings were all supposed to come from David and the priests were all supposed to be Zadok priests? None of them were. They were all illegit. And so Jesus was born during an illegit time and he was the legit. He was actually the king, the David guy. He was actually the right priest. Not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek, the right priest king guy. And John the Baptist came into all the country about Jordan preaching the baptism of repentance. Remember I told you that's a good word. It just means change your mind. Instead of being miserable, be happy. For the remission of sins. I think Barbara, you were telling me that you looked it up in the Greek and you found out it meant sighs. It's probably in the Hebrew, right? Because it's clear in the Hebrew that the word nacham is whenever you're all stressed out. I mean, even yogis know this, and you know, I mean, just natural people know it. Whenever you're stressed out, if you just go like this, it helps. It just helps because your body's under a lot of stress. So put a lot of oxygen in you. This is good. This is good. I mean, you don't have to be a yogist. You just simply breathe in and sigh. In other words, some people have so much trouble, you just get around and you just go, you know. Someone called me up this morning, you know. Pastor Jim, I'm sick as a dog. Could you pray for me? You know, sure. Be happy to. People are sad, depressed, heavy laden, burdened. Remember what Jesus said? Come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you to be at ease or resting or relaxed or not worrying or not figuring things out is be childlike. In other words, die to all the stuff in this world. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about your sins. Don't worry about the war that's out there. Don't worry about the economy falling apart. Don't worry about your marriage going to handbag. Don't worry about that stuff. Turn it over to Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Right now I'm having a little bit of trouble. I need to get a lot of things done. Could you handle all that right now? Thank you. There you go. I'll pay you later. So he's on a pay later thing, you know. But he loves to do it for free. He loves to do it for, you know, if my kids borrow money, I don't ask for it back. Dad, could I loan a $1,500? Sure. I mean, it's not even a thought. Well, could I get $3,000? You know, they're calculating. You know. Oh, I had to go. You know, but, you know, I mean, those are my kids. And whether they ever pay back, and they usually don't, you know, but whether they pay, I don't care. It's my kids. You see, I think differently than I do with somebody else, some third party, some stranger. No. There's no thought. Could I borrow? No. I don't even want to know who you are, what you want. No. I'm not going to borrow to you. No. But with yours, with people that belong to you, it's different. See, I might invest and throw away tons of money, and I do it. I actually do. I just throw away tons of money if you're a church member and someone I think needs a little encouragement. I just throw away thousands of dollars. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Why? Because I don't spend money on anything. I mean, one reason why you think, well, do you get paid that much? Well, it's not that I get paid very much. It's just that I don't spend it on anything. I don't spend money on anything. I don't buy potato chips or anything. I just don't buy stuff. I don't want clothing. You know, if it weren't for Christmas, I wouldn't have any clothes. But, you know, the kids always buy me ties and socks and peanuts and stuff. You know, that's good because that keeps me going. That's all I want. You know, just get me a tie or a sock. I let Margaret, she's the best tie buyer. So, Margaret, you know what I want, something sophisticated like you. You know, get a nice one. So she's always buying me ties, you know. Now I tell her what I want. She always tells me what she wants exactly. I tell her what I want, too. Now here, just go to the finest store now. Because she always makes me go to these, no Kmart, Walmart stuff. It can't be Target or something. It's got to be such and such. She tells me exactly. Now, the lady's name is Sally. She just give me the whole thing. My size is da da da. I've already told you you're coming. And so she does, because she knows, Dad, I don't want you picking stuff out, you see. So I do the same thing back to her. do y'all understand? That's because I love my kids. I love them. Otherwise, they'd all get a sweater or something. It's just crap. I buy five of those. I don't spend more than 7 or 8 minutes in shopping. I'm just not a shopper. I don't want to shop. I don't want to go into those stores and shop. I don't want to see the things or anything. I just want to go in and first counter I come to, I just gonna probably buy whatever's there. Give me a medium, two. That's it, and I'm happy. Now, that's really not a very good person. But if they're like Margaret, they specify, because she doesn't want just any old thing. I would bring home Peg something, that first store I would see, I'd just go in and they had a special. Yeah, I'll buy one of those. Then it comes, what'd you get me this for? What is this? It's nice. The lady said it was nice. I don't want that. Well, that was the one the lady said was real good. Here, look how it goes like this. And it's like, why didn't you ask me? Well, I thought you'd like this. It's the latest thing. But you know how they have those people in all those stores selling you the latest thing or whatever. Looked good to me. And I figured, hey, you vacuum. There's a vacuum cleaner. But she doesn't want just any old vacuum cleaner. She wants the kind she wants. See what I'm saying? I mean, to me, that cost $800. What's wrong with it? So I thought I was doing a good thing. You see what I'm saying? So even now, she's beginning to tell me. I said, well, I'll probably get a sweater or something for you. No. And so she'll be specific. She start, because if I ask her, what do you want? She'll just say, well, whatever. But when I tell her what I'm going to get her, she goes, no. Because she actually does have something that she's interested in. It's good. That's how you learn. And as it is written, verse 4. Now listen carefully now, because it's going to go back now to the Old Testament. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah or Isiyahu, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John took his charge not from the New Testament, but from the Old Testament. In fact, he was the last of the prophets, the very last prophet, except for Muhammad. Yeah, but according to the Bible, John was the last prophet. You see what I'm saying? The very last. So he is the, in fact, he is the greatest of men. Why? Not Muhammad. Muhammad is a liar. Well, I know he's a false prophet because the Bible said he was the last. And the book of Revelation says, don't add anything to this book. So if somebody comes along and says, I got a new revelation, then yeah, you're a devil. Because according to the Bible, there isn't any. I don't have anything original to say. It's just the same old thing. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells you so. It's the same. There's nothing new under the sun. It's good enough for me. I'm telling you, I am so blown away. I haven't even read all the fine print yet. I mean, it's so good. Just on the surface, without even reading the fine print, it's already awesome. And then I begin to read the fine print, and it's even better. I can't believe how much he loves me and how much I'm apparently going to inherit. I love it. I mean, I apparently am just going to get everything. That blows me away. Does it blow you away? I mean, apparently I inherit everything. I mean, apparently nobody's going to get more than me. That's amazing. I feel like I'm kind of like a favorite or something. I don't know. I like thinking on that. Do y'all think on that? Is he likes me? That is neat. That is neat. To know that the one who made heaven and earth is on your side. Ooh. Isn't your little boy, isn't he excited that you like him? He is. If I like him, it doesn't mean anything. But he wants mom and dad to like him. He's choosy. I bet if I try to take him away today and give him ice cream and stuff, he'd eat the ice cream. But right after that, he'd want to go back to mom. Because I can't bribe him away. See, he's been looking at her for 11 months now. He's been looking at her, just staring at her. And he just don't want to have another one. You see? It wouldn't matter how good or bad she is, that's his. You see what I'm saying? I mean, Peggy's always amazed that our kids like her. You know, well, it isn't because you're any good. I mean, that's what she was thinking. They like her because she's good. They don't like you because you're good. They like you because you're their mom. That's it. It has nothing to do with you being good. Did you all know that? Kids will like you even if you're not good. They still like you. They go crazy, but they still like you because you're their mom. You're their dad. They don't care that you're a scoundrel or whatever. They wish they could fix you, but they know they don't have any power. Kids have no power to fix parents. It's none. They can't remake you. My kids, Margaret, we were just saying this the other day. We had a wedding over here, her roommate. And she was just saying something about, you know, Dad, I've been trying to get a guy that wasn't like you. But it was a joke because she's knowing, but the guys I like, they're just like you. I hate it. I just can't, you know, I can't pick somebody that's not like you. You know, because I ruined her. See, she likes me deeply, even though she's embarrassed about so many things that I say and do. It's awful. It's awful, and I'm totally unapologetic about it. Just, well, that's me. Now, Dad, don't put this in the sermon. They tell me stuff. You know, I'm going to tell you something that, you know, something. But do not put this in the sermon. Because it's like a perfect illustration. I mean, wow, that would be great. Boy, let me tell everybody about that. Aren't your kids real? They're just so real. I love kids. I love my kids. Best kids in the world. For me. They're just the best. Now, everybody else has kids too that they like for the best. That's fine, but I got mine. I like mine. I just like them. Amen. I mean, I'm not trading them. Do you want to trade your boy? No, I see. Give you a dollar. Yeah, no, I see. So whatever we have, that's the best. You know, and that's the way God wants it. God bought you. Did you know that? He birthed you. He adopted you. He married you. I mean, in every way, he's trying to get some relationship going. Can you kind of get the idea there? Even calls you, he's the head and you're the body. I mean, it's pretty close for him. He's trying to give you an idea there that I want a tight, intimate, close relationship with you personally. That's cool. That's cool. He's offered so many ways to get me in, you know, get me close to him. And most of us are into performance rather than relationship. You know, okay, you do this. All right, that's not my job. I'm not doing that, you know. You are supposed to do that. You know, that most of us are into performance. But God's into relationship. And we started out our marriage performance. Okay, now garbage is mine, right? Okay, you do dishes, right? You know, and we started out on performance, but that fell apart right away. It just fell apart right away. Jim, aren't you supposed to be mowing the lawn? Yeah, but I gotta pray. That's a bigger job from God. Well, I hate mowing the lawn all the time. I don't think that's a woman's job, but probably not. But think of the good I'm doing. And so we had a lot of arguments about what was her job and what was my job. Do you all understand? But I learned after a while that that wasn't working out. That was no good, you know, divvying up all those jobs. It's like, what more do you want? You know, like, didn't I do everything? I bring the money home. Huh? So she always wanted more. It's like I couldn't understand. She would say stuff like, it just shocked me. She'd say stuff like this. I just want to be with you. Well, you are with me. I mean, it's like, yeah, that didn't make any sense. What do you mean you just want to be with me? I'm here I am, me. But she meant something more intimate than that. That scared me. No. You're trying to open up my guts and get inside of me. There's nothing in here. Look, there's nothing here. Yahoo! Do you all understand what I'm saying? I mean, I didn't get into that like We just do stuff. We just talk at each other like this from the outside. We're not intimate like that. Because I always sense when she said, I want to be with you, that she meant, I want to control you. I don't know why I had that idea. I always interpreted that. I want to dominate and completely control you and suck up all your time and juices and everything, and you live for me forever. I don't know why I interpret it that way. Anybody else? I know I was accurate on that. I said, Peg, you're just trying to control me and dominate me. Now she admits it, but in the beginning she didn't. But we developed a better way, which is just have a relationship, you know? And I learned to talk better and act better and so on. I just learned to say, okay, you're right. And that helped. See, that helped. Do you know what I'm saying? That was actually an advance in our relationship. And I don't care that you didn't do the dishes. See, that was a good thing. I learned all those little things. Peg, I used to say, Peg, the house is a mess. Look at it's a mess. That's your job. Get it fixed. I learned, don't even bother with it. So I learned, okay, you, because she would answer back, you want it clean? Clean it yourself. See, it's not my job. Those are great. What a contrast between me and God. I started learning from God the way he does it. He doesn't put any pressure on me to do anything. If he wants something done, do it yourself. You see that? God, you want to keep the law? Keep it yourself. It's your law. Do you see that? That's actually the right answer. That actually is the way God does it. He never gave the law for me to keep. He gave the law knowing I wouldn't keep it so that he could just give me mercy and have Jesus keep it for me. I like that. I do wrong and Jesus gets spanked. I don't know. I like that. That is a cool understanding. That is cool. And I taught my kids that. I taught them when I disciplined them. You kids want the letter of the law that spanketh, or do you want the mercy of the law where I hit the bed instead? Damn mercy. I don't know why they went for it. They just went for mercy. Judy, I would offer my kids so often. I would have the stick back there and they'd be, you know, wiggling and moving and fussing and whatever. All right, you need to get a spanking. Mom said you rolled your eyes. You're going to have to get a spanking on that. Yeah, mercy. Mercy. Do you deserve mercy? I'm teaching them a concept here. I'm not even interested in the spanking. Let me teach them a concept. No, Dad, I don't, but I didn't roll my eyes. I just went like that. I didn't really roll them. I didn't roll them. And because I love my kids, I always wanted to give them mercy too. I don't want to give them a spanking. I hate giving them spankings. I just obeyed Jesus. And I just told him, I don't want to give you a spanking. But Jesus makes me do it or he'll spank me. So which should it be, me or you? It's you. Anyway, they would have, and so I spanked the bed. And since Mom wasn't into that theology, I just told her, go out and tell her I spanked you. You know, that was a lie. Go lie to your mother. And they would. They'd go, you know, and they'd do it. Those were play actors like me. My kids, I ruined every one of those kids. Isn't that awful? But one thing they learned from me, mercy. You know, my kids have never argued with one another and hated one another. You know, it's just always neat when they're around each other. They love each other. Isn't that powerful? That is fun being together. I mean, we just look forward to it. They look forward to being there. We look forward to having them. I don't know. A lot of families don't have that, but we do. It's just like heaven on earth. Amen? I feel the same way about the church. I don't know if the church feels that way about me, but that's what I feel. I like being at church. I like being with the people. I enjoy it. I have meetings every day. Every day I teach at least once. Every day. Going somewhere, doing something. And I love it. I mean, it's fun for me to share truth that I've learned. I just read it out of the book. And sometimes people come late and they'll go, oh, I'm sorry I missed this. I went, it's all in the book. You know, just get a book. It's all in the book. I don't have anything to teach. I have nothing to teach. It's just the same stuff that's written in the book. Isn't that powerful? All right, listen carefully now. Listen carefully. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. So if you have a valley, it'll be filled up. So don't worry about it. Don't be depressed. It'll fill up. If you have a mountain, it'll be brought down. It'll be brought low. The crooked, something crooked, it'll be made straight. The rough ways, they'll be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Jump ahead all the way down to the 21st verse. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens were opened, or the heaven was opened. It just means the sky. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. See, God loves his Son. That's his boy. But God actually loves you too. And the reason he sent his boy downstairs to be with us is just for you. He didn't do it for his son. It really no picnic for the son, actually. When he came down, remember Herod tried to kill him right off the bat. As soon as he was born, Herod tried to kill him. Joseph tried to divorce his wife. I mean, all kinds of awful things happened to Jesus just at the birth thing. He just barely got into this world. I mean, there was no room at the inn. I mean, just story after story, how Jesus almost didn't make it. But the Father kept interrupting everything. You know, it's like when it's your own, you're always interrupting. You see? And the Father was just monkeying with everything. He had angels come for just a bunch of shepherds and stuff. He said, well, if I can't get anything else, I'll have some shepherds here. You know, and he was just monkeying with everything. Couldn't just let him be born. He had to make sure he stayed alive. That's a good parent. If that kid can just make it through the night, you know. And that mother was, you know, worried. She had no hot water. There's no place in the inn. She didn't have any hospital care. She didn't have anything. Joseph, he's just a, you know, carpenter guy. What can he do? Well, I'll build you a little table. You know, what can he do? Nothing. So she's really all alone. Some cows and some sheep and stuff. But God helps out. Constantly sending everything. You know, gold, myrrh, and incense later, and everything. He's providing everything. I love it. I love it that God's interrupting everything. You know, we do that for our kids. Don't you do that for your kids? If they're in a contest with somebody, you want them to win. We always did. You'll even consider cheating. I'll tell you, you can hardly catch my wife ever cheating, but when it comes to her kids, she will. We used to have these Easter egg rolls, I don't believe in this, but anyway, we used to have them at the Lutheran church. And we'd hide the Easter eggs all out, and then all the little kids, 20, 30 little kids, would come around, and the one that got the most get a prize. And since Peg had helped to hide them, because he's a good doer, good person, she would whisper to Kara where they were. And I saw her doing that. I went, Peg, you're the pastor's wife. You can't do that. This is cheating. And in that case, you see, she knew it was wrong, but she deliberately held, and Kara won. But she made her win. And that was the way for the rest of her life she's been like that. Always, she'll cheat to help her own. Isn't God like that? He's like that. He'll cheat. I don't care what the law says. He'll go against his own law. He doesn't really go against it. He just perfects it. In other words, he won't let the Sabbath destroy a man. He'll make the man be blessed by the Sabbath. He's not going to let any law ever come against you. He's the law guy, so he's going to keep his law. He doesn't have to cheat like we did. He doesn't have to cheat, you know. But Peg just didn't have any faith in God. She just was, you know, doing it herself, self-reliant. She's tough. Has anybody noticed that part about Peg? She's not what she appears to be at all. I'm actually the better person. Oh, glory. But God likes her. Don't you like people the way they are? I don't want them to fix up. I like them the way they are. Now listen, this is the key verse, the last verse, 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Haley. Isn't that interesting? Jesus began. Do you know what he's saying here? And if you read on, it'll show that Passover's right there. I say that the only date in the Bible for Jesus' birth is right there. What's it saying? And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. In other words, that's a birthday. So, obviously, they knew the word birthday, day of birth, about 30 years, because every year you add a year. And so, obviously, God's into the concept of birth. The Jehovah Witnesses say God doesn't want to celebrate birthdays. Well, they're probably right, but he at least knows there is a birthday. And it isn't evil to say to somebody, happy birthday. It's true you probably shouldn't worship or do something like that, but there's nothing wrong with birthdays. And Jesus had one. And he was about to be 30. That means he wasn't yet. That tells me, because I read on, it'll just keep going, and then it'll talk about 40 days and all this kind of stuff. And then it'll talk about, Jesus, so that's another month. Jesus then, about Passover time, starts his ministry. Did you see that? Now, this one here is all about John the Baptist starting his ministry in the 15th year of Tiberius, and then 6 months later, Jesus starts his. So if I could figure out when Jesus' birth was, not December 25th, because it doesn't say that. This is the only scripture that gives any kind of date at all as to when he might have been born. But, as I pointed out, who cares? It doesn't make any difference. Because God didn't want us to know. If he did, he would have said so. But this is as close as you can get. And so I'm not going to buy into other ideas that are theologically interesting. Like he was born on trumpets. The king is coming. That was him. There he was. Well, that theologically makes sense, but it's not what the scripture says. Scripture doesn't say it. He was born on the Day of Atonement. I know, because he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world and so on. But it doesn't say it. Well, he was born at winter solstice. Well, definitely doesn't say that. So when was he born? You know, we always make him born in the winter time, but there's no scripture that tells us that. This is the closest one I can come to. It looks to me like he was born in the springtime or early spring. Lambing time. It's when lambs are birthed. Now, I'm not making a theology out of it. I'm just simply saying. But here's a scripture that says Jesus began to be about 30 years of age, as was supposed, blah, 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 blah. Well, if his ministry began when he was about 30, because that's when Jewish rabbis become Jewish rabbis, at 30. That meant up until then, he's been learning carpentry from his dad. It's going to be just like Joseph's son. Could have been Jesus Josephson. But, you know, he learned his little trade. Now he has a trade. Paul was a tent maker. Remember, you know, everybody who's Jewish male has to learn a trade. By the time you're 12, you're already being, apprenticed and so on. And then you become a master at it. And by the time you're 30, you could then, because you have your skill, you could then go into the ministry. But you could not go into the ministry at a younger age. Now, we do it the opposite. We don't pay attention to this. We will send out some young person that's just graduated from seminary and send him out to start a new church. God would never do that. He would send Paul out, who was the most experienced of all, to start new churches. We would send out somebody who has no experience at all, and because we don't want to give them up our neat churches that we have. So we give them, but God does it the opposite. He actually would make somebody that was quite mature to go out and start churches. Isn't that interesting? So, Jesus was 30. He's ready now to start. He can be a carpenter. And in case something goes bad in the ministry, sometimes it does, you got to have a little backup. You got to have a little skill on the side. Isn't that interesting? Paul even said that. He said, if I go into a town and there's no church there and there's nobody to support me, you know what I do? I work with my own hands. But if I go and there is a church there and they have the offering, I can live off the offering. So what he's saying is, I don't care if you pay me or don't pay me. I'm going to make sure the gospel is done. Do you understand that? That's called tent making. So he had a tent making ministry. And he just said, here's the deal. If you can't afford me, don't worry about it. Now, there are some pastors today, they think differently. They go to a church, now what's my honorarium going to be? You know, 1,000 or, you know, 1,500 or, you know, 250 or what? You know, they want to know. And they won't even come to your church unless you're going to make them a big offering. Well, you know, you're paying for my airplane and hotel and stuff. Well, we have a little tent out back you could stay in. And so Louis has been gracious. Sometimes we brought people in and, you know, just stay in a home. You don't get a hotel. But if they insist on a hotel, you have to give them a hotel. The truth is, I don't care when I go somewhere, put me on the floor. I don't care. If I go to Africa, put me out in the bush. I don't care. If there's mosquitoes, give me one of those tent things, you know. But I don't need a lot. I don't want a lot. I don't want you to pay me. I don't want you to help me. I don't want you to give me anything. Just whatever you have. Whatever it is, that'll be fine. I'm easy to please. And now it's a man thing. But you should be easy to please. You shouldn't be hard to, you know, please. Amen? Hello? Jesus came down and he just accommodated himself to whatever was there. Cow barn, you know, a bunch of ragtag disciples. He didn't care. He'd start anywhere, anytime, any place, and bring joy to that place. I would like to have about 10 lives. Because I would love to just, you know, go into the most ragged place and start right there. I'll bet I could improve it. Put me in prison. I'll improve it. I don't care where you put me. I have such an optimistic, confident, you know, whatever. I'm not discouraged. I don't care how bad it is, I'll bring some good out of it. Y'all like that? You get into a bad marriage, good. Then bring good out of it. What's a bad marriage? There's nothing for God. Amen? Time to grow up. Put me where I can't talk. I don't care. Where I can't see. I mean, what do I care? It's all up to God. You're not going to ever discourage me. Why? Because I'm not an outside person. I'm an inside person. And God's inside. Therefore, notice the word about here. Why doesn't he say exact? Why doesn't God say exact? He just got done saying 15th year and all this stuff. Then he said about. When it comes to Jesus' birth and even Jesus' ministry, it's more of an about thing. You have to kind of either calculate it or you don't even have a clue. So here's the deal. On the 25th of December, which everybody celebrates, and which we are too, we're going to celebrate it. But I don't really believe in it. And I don't really care about it. It's just a great time to say some stuff that I was going to say anyway. You see what I'm saying? So it helps to organize it. You can say it. But you know what? I don't believe in it. Because God doesn't believe in it. If he did, he should have said something. And he didn't. So therefore, I don't. I'm not going to go beyond God. Now, all of the world today, you have to ask yourself a question. If God didn't care about the time on that, he cared more about the time of his death and resurrection and ascension than he did about his birth. Now, we know what age he was, 33, so we could figure out the death, burial, and resurrection, go back and figure out the birth. That's why we can figure out the birth. Did you know that? You don't start it from his birth. The calendar is, you know, 4 BC. See, even the joke right there. But you figure it out from his death and resurrection. You have to actually work backwards your numbers. Well, since we know he was about 30 when he started, and he only had four Passovers actually started on the first one, then to the next one, and so on. There were four Passovers, and that's his ministry, 3 years. So you can actually work it back and figure out exactly when he was born. But you can't figure it out exactly. It's just kind of like roughly. Could have been 6 BC, could have been 5 BC, 4 BC, 3 BC, 2 BC. You can't actually nail it. Why is that important? Because then you have to ask, Holy Spirit, since you didn't make that so exact, and yet it's a very important event. I mean, how can you be dead until you're born? You had to come into the world at some point, and he makes a big deal out of coming in, but he doesn't specify it, and he doesn't put the weight on it. He puts that weight on the why, not the when. So then, well, then why did you come? You know, what is it you were coming to do? Well, that's what the cornerstone's all about. He came not only to declare as a prophet the holiness of God, he came not only to effect as a priest the mercy of God, but he came also to empower and to execute the kingdom of God as a king. Prophet, priest, and king. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Light, Lamb, and Lord. On and on and on. I've told you, I can do 20 or 30 of those to show you. It's always exactly the same. They're always in perfect coordination. So Jesus, what's interesting about Jesus is not, let's celebrate Christmas. The Bible never did. It never remembered his birth. It never celebrated on an annual level. For 300 years, nobody did it. There's no record anywhere that anybody ever celebrated his birth or remembered it. So, again, you think, well, I'm going to say then we shouldn't. No, I'm not saying that. I don't care if we do or not. It's just a teaching. Just don't make more out of it than God does. If it had been important for us to remember his birth, he would have written that down and then people would have done it. So, most of this comes from Constantine, the emperor. And this is 300 years after the time of Jesus. So Constantine is the one that gave us tradition. But the traditions of men are not the same as the scriptures of God. Ignore the traditions of men. Or at least don't give them value. Don't give them more value than they have. So a tradition is just a tradition. But many times the tradition actually goes against the truth. Amen? So you ask God the question then, God, how come you didn't tell us here? That was an oversight on your part or what? God doesn't have any oversights. You can't impute to God an oversight. He deliberately didn't put it down for a reason. So then what is your focus? If you're not going to focus on when, what's your focus? On who this man is. He's the Messiah of God. Now, Messiah is both a holy example. He's got to be holy or he can't be your Savior. Because if he was a sinner, that wouldn't have helped you. So he has to be holy, first of all, number one. Then he has to be a Savior, number two. And the only reason he's a Savior, it's not the most important thing. Not the most important thing. Not. Holy is important in order to be a Savior. Savior is important in order to be a Lord. The Lord's what's important. He came to be a king. Jesus Christ came on earth not to be a Savior. He only saved you to king you. He only saved you to king you. What? See, the church today doesn't teach that. First of all, they skip the part that he was holy because they're afraid they're going to have to be. And second, that's funny. You know, just skip right over it. But actually, Jesus did come so that you could become holy. But the way he did it's what's interesting. He didn't make you do it. He did it for you like a good parent. Then he gave it to you for free, mercifully. Didn't deserve it. You know, I never showed mercy to my kids because they deserved it. I gave them mercy because they didn't deserve it. Do y'all see that? Say, well, I'm not going to forgive him. Well, I'm not going to forgive her. Well, how come? Well, she doesn't deserve it. The word mercy means people that don't deserve it get it. You only forgive people that don't deserve it. God didn't forgive us because we deserved it. Or because he thought we'd turn out fine. He gave mercy because we didn't deserve it. We were enemies. We hated him. All we had was flesh. We didn't have any Holy Spirit in us. Then he gave it to us. That's Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. Free gift, no strings attached. Here, take the best. The only thing that's offensive is that we wrap our presents with nice wrappings, but Jesus came without a nice wrapping. He looked ordinary. When people saw his wrapping, they said, well, this looks like carpenter's son. This doesn't look like anything. Do you see what I'm saying? He was like hiding his glory. You couldn't even see it. And that's the same as us. People cannot see our glory today because they're looking at the wrapper rather than the gift inside the wrapper. Don't look at the wrapping paper. Some little kids, you know, little bitty kids, they just go for the wrapping paper and the bows and stuff and forget the present. But older kids know there's a present inside there, and they get through that thing right away. Just rip that thing up and don't even care about it. Get to the present. Why? Because it isn't the package. It's what's in the package. It's what's contained. You see, inside of me is what's valuable, not the outside, not the wrapping, not the appearance, not what you see. So I don't care how people are toward me, literally. Anybody here who's ever hated me, and I know a few of you have, it's okay. I love it. Really, I'm not only not mad, I delight in it. It's wonderful. Go ahead. I'm the easiest person in the world to hate. It's so easy to hate me. I love being hated. You know why? Because God loves me. God loves me. What do I care if the whole world hates me? Let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care. I don't care what people think. And the only one I'm really caring about anyway is Peggy. And when she hates me, it's just like, for some silly reason or something. And we can get through that in just minutes, seconds. We have a good way of communicating. Peg, are you judging me right now? I just go right to it, bottom line. Are you judging me right now? Yes, because you should have done this. Well, did you take the log out of your own eye first? See, I did just right away. I strip her from that. Did the Holy Spirit tell you to do it like that? So, to me, that is fun. Now, that is fun for me. That is exciting for me. Why? Because I don't want my wife to be burdened down by having to judge me. It's a big burden. I'll defend myself anyway. No matter what. I mean, if she points out a sin of mine, I'll point out one of hers. I'll say, "Well, Peg, you've sinned too." And she says, "What?" I can't think of anything. I don't know, but I'll think of something. Aren't people funny? So I don't accept people as serious. I don't take people as serious. Do you take people as serious? I never take people serious. I don't think people are serious. I think God is serious. Did you hear what I just said? I don't take people serious. I just forgive people. Laugh with them. Aren't people a blessing? Even if they're monsters. I've never met a monster more monstrous than myself. Ever. I never have. Did you know that? I've never met anybody worse than myself. Sunday we had the toy run. 100,000 bikers. And a lot of those guys are monsters. They even have it written on their jackets. I won't tell you what they say. But they're written right on their jackets. They got patches, killers and rapists and, all kinds of things. They write it right on their jackets so you can see it. Even their names, scorpions and, what is it, booze mongers and, whatever, all these names. And they look rough too. And they're just big. They're all big. It just seems they're all big. And if they're not big, they're mean looking, And here they are carrying little teddy bears for kids and stuff like that. It's great. Isn't that great? And they come up, and I was the only one that was dressed properly. I mean, the others seemed to be just totally underdressed for the whole event. But anyway, they would come right up to you and say, "Brother, I got some heavy things in my life." And they just tell you just directly. "I've raped a lot of people. I've killed a lot of people. I've done this and that and that, but I feel like this is a good event here," and so on. So they just, right away, they're confessing their sins. "Where's your church?" I'll bet they'll be in our church. Some of those guys, they'll come to church. "Now, where is it? Where is it exactly?" "Well, I'll be there." This is great. They come in all their leathers and whatnot. They don't care what they look like or what they smell like or talk like. God loves those people. Amen? And think of all the toys they bring and all the money they collect and stuff. It's beautiful. I'm at home anywhere in the world, and you should be home anywhere in the world. I could go anywhere in the world. You just put me among any people, any climate, any condition. I'm at home. I will get along. Desert, I don't like Alaska. I don't want to go where it's cold, like an Eskimo thing. But I guess if you put on those warm coats, it'd be okay. But I literally could get along anywhere because I happen to like people. In fact, I also hate people, and so I can get along totally alone in the woods, totally alone in the desert, totally alone anywhere. I will survive. Are you survivors? In other words, I'm not a hothouse person that says, Give me the ideal circumstances. Now, one thing I don't like is cold. If you put me out in the middle of winter without any clothes on and it's cold, I'll be a Buddhist or anything. I'll give up Jesus. I don't like that. So don't tell that to the bad guys because they'll learn that. But basically, I believe God is good. Do you all believe he's good? No, so no matter where you go or what happens, trust him. Amen? And don't think of the worst thing could happen. Just start with little things. Well, what if this happens? Are you going to rejoice? What if this happens? You still going to rejoice? What if this happens? Still going to rejoice? And I practice that. I do that all the time. Lord, if that happens, I'll still praise you. Well, if that happens, I'll still praise you. Now I try to think of the most God-awful thing. What if that happens? I'll still praise you. That way, when you come up to a problem, it's like, that was only number four. I was on 10 already. Do you hear what I'm saying? So what? Somebody says, I hate you. Or whatever. So what? So they think it. They don't tell you. So what? Now, this Christmas thing is so neat because Jesus came at this time of year to give good news to everybody. Everybody. But everybody wasn't ready. Some people shut him out, no room at the inn. Other people ignored him. Other people just didn't see the need for him, and so on. But some people, and I'm now one of those people, some people welcomed him and said, come into my inn. Come in here. You'll be safe in here. I'm going to keep you safe. Amen? Well, he doesn't want that now because he's dead or he's alive. But other people do. Amen? So what we're doing is giving gifts, not just December 25th. We're giving them all the time. We're giving them all the time. You ever notice Tommy's starting to come to church a little more? Tommy's the bum. I got him to get a card, what do you call it, a Social Security card. Went to a lot of trouble, had to buy his tickets and all this stuff and whatnot. But he finally got one. So now he's got a card. Now he's got an identity. He didn't even have an identity. The police can just pick you up and do whatever they want and so on. But now he's got an identity. He is a person. And now we've got to get him to actually go to work. So we're just working on it little by little. But he's basically begging all the time. I'm sure he's taking a lot from everybody here. Stop giving him money. I'm trying to teach him to be responsible. And I've trained him now that when he says, Jim, can I have $7? I've tried to train him that if I say no, that's not because I hate you. It's because I don't want to give it to you. I don't want you to beg. I want you to go and get a job. See? And so I told him no Sunday when he came. Because sometimes I'll say yes. And you don't want to give somebody that's still smoking or drinking or whatever else they're doing and subsidize their habit. When he says, I'm hungry, I take him back to the kitchen. That's not what he had in mind. Oh, praise God, Tom. Such a blessing. We have to have something back here. I have some bread, some beans. That's not what he wanted. He wanted the money so he can, negotiate some things. Now he's got some shoes. I noticed he had some shoes and so on and so forth. No, everybody is loved by God. Amen? Everybody's loved by God. So joy to the world. The Lord is come. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. He's a king. He's King Jesus. Number three is more important than number two is more important than number one. Why? Well, they're really not more important. It's just that that's what number one is. Through two becomes three. In other words, number one is just like the seed. Number two is like the tree. And number three is like the fruit of that tree. So, of course, the roots are important. Of course, the tree's important. But so is the fruit. And the only point of having the roots is to have the tree so it'll have the fruit. Do you see what I'm saying? So why Jesus came was not to be your savior, the tree, or not to be the root to be holy, but was actually to bear the fruit so that the world would know the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, and that they would receive their king. He's a good king. You and I are good kings. You're royal. These four titles up here, four royal titles. These are the Messiah or the Messianic titles. It's what a king should do. There's not a king on earth that has done these. There is no king on earth like this. This is the king you really want. And I've let him come into my life, and he's kinging me. I'm a subject of his. Jim. He just snaps his hand. But he doesn't do it that way. He just like that. I like this kind of king. He's different than the other kind of kings. And he can make a command, but it's not a command to me. That's something I just want to please him. I like pleasing him. He likes me. And I just like people that like me. Does anybody else like me? I get along a lot better with people that like me. I don't know, I just like them. I enjoy them. When people are critical of me and despise me and stuff, it's harder because they're like prickly. You know, you get up to, they're always prickly. You know what I'm saying? But I love people that like me. Don't you? Don't you like people that like you? I mean, God's apparently into that because he's the first liker. He's the first one that taught us, hey, you people aren't liking one another. Let me show you how. And he came down and he liked us and then we killed him. And then he jumped up again and said, no, I got to teach you this. That was powerful. You can't hate Jesus. He'll come back and like you. You can kill him a billion times. He'll just jump back up again. Are you like that? Very forgiving. Always happy. Never controlling. Am I getting close? Am I getting warm? Yeah. You're happy all the time. Always full of praise, thanksgiving, joy unspeakable, full of glory. Always, always merciful. Always kind to people. Always patient. Always a great attitude. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Just all the time. Amen? That is what God wants. That's the gift that was given to you. You don't have to do it. He just gave you that. First of all, he showed it to you. And then second of all, you said, is this really for me? And he said, yes, this is your gift. Little kids will do that. Mom, is this for me? They'll just ask. You know, and I love, if you have little kids at your house at Christmas time and they're opening up their presents, you keep your eye right on them. And when they see the present, you know, Peggy's made all these doll clothes this year on her sewing machine. And it takes her forever to make a little hat or a little pair of gloves or whatever the thing is. And I said, Peggy, just go and buy them. No, I want to make them. Let's just waste all day. I love it. Okay. All right. I was just trying to help. No, well, I want to do this. Well, it looks like it's frustrating and time-consuming. You see, that is a good grandmother. That's a good grandmother. Because she saw they had dolls, certain kind of American dolls or something or other. And so she's making just for that. She made them for a little bitty doll like this big. She made a whole outfit. That's big. That's stupid. You just buy them. You just buy them. They cost nothing. But she's in there, you know, just working on a little hat and a little coat. And little shoes. You all understand? This is great. This is God. God is like that. He's very attentive to us. He wouldn't have come if he didn't know you needed a present. You needed a gift. He wants you never to work, always to take gifts. I'm getting that down. Nick, I'm learning. Never sweat. Never work. Never worry. Never care. Is anybody else learning that? I'm getting a new attitude in life. Is just relax. Have a good time. Are y'all getting that? Now, the rest of the world isn't doing this. You can go other places in the world. They're not like that. They're always anxious and nervous and running around doing this and so on. But you should learn another way. That's what Christmas is all about. That little baby was born. Look how vulnerable it is. Anybody can hurt a little baby. Anybody get at that baby. Herod tried to kill him. I mean, that was the government itself tried to kill that little boy. But God has a little Ways and Means Committee. He woke up Joseph, you know, 2 a.m., so to speak. Joseph, get him. What? You're going on a trip. I haven't even prepared or anything. That's good. Okay, well, I'll do it in the morning. No, I'm doing it right now. And Herod was on his way. I mean, God, at the last minute, gives you your orders. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that God is never on time when I call on time? is give me a little prep. I did. I wrote it in here.
Oh, yeah,
that's right. He did. Thousands of years he wrote that. But when it came right down to it, you get this last-minute reminder. Jim, do you realize you're teaching today? What? I never do. I'm always studying. And then all of a sudden I realize I got to be in Dallas in 4 minutes. It's just kind of, I'm probably not going to make it. But I get caught up in what I'm doing. I do. I love studying the Word. I love it. And but you know, I have such a good God. I have such a good God that even if I mess up, I can still relax. It seems like cheating. You know, when you do wrong, you should pay for it, right? I mean, no, you should pay for it. If you do wrong, you should at least look miserable for an hour or two. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I mean, Peg will be in there. You're disgusting, she'll say, because I'm late or something. And I'll go, it's okay, Peg. It's not okay. I said, well, just relax. It's too late now. You know, it's okay. We just have Jesus. It's not right. And of course she's right. But when I point that out about her, when she's doing wrong, she takes my very words. I notice that Peggy uses all of my tricks on me. You know, if I show her how I can defend myself, she'll use it right back on me. Does anybody notice that? You know, I learned that from God. I try to figure out the way God did it, and I'll follow that way. He's pleased with that. Like if he tries to get me under the law, I'll run over to the gospel. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And you know, if he's... Sometimes the devil will sound just like God, and he'll put on that gruff voice, you did wrong. And when I hear that, I know that that's not God. God is never the accuser. He's always my defender. God can never be my accuser. He can never even be my judge. You say he is your judge. Yes, he's my judge. But he's the kind of judge that marries you to his son. That's the kind of judge he is. His judgment is, you're one of my boys. You belong to Jesus, don't you? See, I always come to the Lord under mercy. I never come through the holiness door. Even if the Holy Spirit would do a work in me, I'm still not going to mention it. I'm still going to go through the mercy door. I know I'm not perfect yet. So I'm never going to go through that holy door. That's Jesus' door. Only Jesus goes through that door. But Jesus went through that door for me. Therefore, I already went through that door. So I don't have to go through that door because I already went through that door. I am holy. Say it. I am holy. I am pure. I am complete in Him. There's nothing more. Two conquers one every time. One is for Jesus only. The only one that can go through the one door, which is to please God perfectly, is Jesus. And if Jesus pleased God perfectly, and he didn't do it for himself, but he did it for you, then who are you to ever worry about pleasing God perfectly? You don't have to. I mean, don't even have it in your mind. It is like, well, I probably should have, but I just didn't. No. God's already said, I'm satisfied. When he saw Jesus come to him, he said, that's Jim. That's Barb. He never said, well, I hope Jim comes through this door too. He never said that because Jesus was perfect. And he said, I did this for Jim. And he did it for the whole world so that anybody could take advantage of that. Anybody could take advantage of it. I do. I take advantage of it. If he's offering spanking and mercy, I'm going to go for mercy. Jim, what would you like to do today? Do you like to have mercy or spanking? I guess I'll go for the mercy. Jim, you went for that yesterday. Yeah, I like mercy. I just don't go for spankings. I feel when Jesus took that spanking, I'm not taking any spankings. You say, well, what about the suffering in your life? I don't count that as a spanking. I count that as a perfecting. So when all the people sin against me and stuff, I don't even get upset. Why? That's just part of my perfection. I don't care who you are, what you've done, or what your thoughts are, or what your whatever. It's already rigged. My Father in heaven's already said, Jim, why are you? I noticed Jesus never worried. Did you ever see Jesus worrying? Gosh, I'm late. He never worried. He didn't worry. He never worried. They were about to stone him. He didn't say, and so Jesus ran and hid himself. It doesn't. It just simply said, he was hidden, but he didn't worry about it. He wasn't trying to get away or escape or anything. Right? Well, if that's true, he must know something about the universe that, and he read it all, the book, he knew all that was going to happen, but he didn't care. He knew my Father in heaven. Oh, if I get killed, I'll be right back again in a couple of days. And then what did he do during that time? He went into hell during that time. He wasn't just laying there in the grave. That was just during Sabbath rest time, because you're not supposed to work on that day. But then he went down into hell and set the captive free. I mean, he was busy the whole time. But it was fun for him. It was a joy for him to save people. That was his job. Your job now is to proclaim that birth, to take that light of Christmas and spread it. Amen? Joy unspeakable. So what are you building? You're not just building a performance. You're building a kingdom. But how does it work? He does it all. He does it in me, then he does it through me, then he does it with me, then he does it for me. He just does everything. He just does everything. Just getting hooked up with him is all it takes. So God is good. Have you all met King Jesus? Easiest king to work for. Everything he commands, he does. If he commands it, he does it. It's such an easy thing. It's like any good parent. You tell him to make the bed, but you're going to end up making it. If you want that bed to be right, you're going to end up doing it. Right? You kids get in there and make your beds. They're not going to make them. If they are, it's going to be a shambles. You're going to have to go in and redo it. Isn't that right? I mean, it is. And as far as they're concerned, they did it. But as far as you're concerned, that was not what you expected and wanted. Because they're not into that. That is just not their cup of tea. Making a bed is not cool for a kid. If it is, that kid's insane. I mean, that kid, there's something wrong with that person. You know, what God wants for you is to realize he loves you so much that if he tells you to do something, he'll not only forgive you for not doing it, he'll not only help you to do it, he'll do it. He'll do it himself and give you all the credit for free. I love that kind of a king. I love that kind of a king. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. You see, the last title up there is Sar Shalom, which means Prince of Peace. That everything that God has ever done is to get you peace, to put you at ease, to put you no more worry, no more IRS, no more sweat, no more sickness, no more enmity. I don't have to worry about it. No more sin, no more guilt, no more condemnation. I don't know what kind of presents you've been getting, but the presents that God's been giving me are wonderful. Amen? All right. Christmas, give it the same weight God gives it. You have no idea what time of the year it was. You have no idea what day it was on. You don't even know the year. You know about. Just enough to not worry about it. He did come into the world, but you don't know exactly when. You don't know exactly how it happened, other than what God has told you. Whatever he's told you, that's good enough. We know it was in Bethlehem. We know it was in a manger. We don't know where that manger is. They got a little hole in the ground over there, if you ever go there. It's a little hole in the ground, but I think it's about this big. Maybe 7 inches. It's not very big. And you look down, and it's just, a little hole from about the bench here to the floor. You just look down about 18 inches, and there it is. And that's the manger. It's nothing but a rock down there. And maybe it is the cave. Maybe that is the place. I don't know. Nobody knows. It just picked it out. That was just Constantine's mother, Queen Helena. She did that. She just picked it out. This will be the spot right here. And they did it for political reasons. Even if they did it for religious reasons, I don't care. They don't know. It's just some Arab kid probably told them that. Now, where around here is the place where it's over here? You know, and they're just charging a nickel to get in and see it. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not important. It's important that he came. I'm not saying he didn't come. I'm saying it's important that he came. I'm just saying you can't go beyond what God told you. If he wanted you to know more, he would have told you. If it were not so, I would have told you. Everything God wants you to know. You don't need to know anything more than your parent tells you. Little kids totally depend on their parents to tell them, hey, make sure you da da da. And they give you a little instruction like, that's all you need to know. I never expected my kids to know something. I would have to tell them. Hey, and no hand-holding. You know, my kids couldn't go on a date, first of all. Second of all, when they did go, because I did allow them to go under certain conditions, then they had to have the girls in the back and the guys in the front, or, you know, some kind of thing like that. That was awful. My kids were just bitter over that. Dad, the whole school will laugh. Good. Thank God you have me as a father. And so my kids were horrified. I mean, they were mortified. Dad, nobody does it like that. I know, we're Christians. We do it differently. Dad, not even the Christians do it like that. Well, they're all wrong. So my kids could get nowhere. But you know what? All of my kids have come back and said to me, thank you. Because this girl who got to do what she wanted ended up pregnant. This girl ended up this way. This girl, 14 guys later, did this. None of my kids did. And they said, thank you, Dad. Now, what? Years and years and years later, they thanked us. Even Margaret. It's powerful. It's a blessing. But I remember when they were horrified at the time. Sometimes it doesn't look like you're being loved. But you are. You don't always know why things are happening what they're happening. But God loves you so much. If I was a horrible pastor, which I'm not, but if I were, you'd still be blessed if you just simply asked Jesus to take care of you. You don't need me. The teacher dwells within you. Isn't that powerful? You don't even need me. That's so great. I love it. I love having a job where it's really not necessary. You just do it, and I really don't care if you get it or not. That's really not my problem, because that's the Holy Spirit's problem to convict. Mine's just to deliver it like a mail person. You just deliver it, and then if somebody gets it, praise the Lord. You know. But I don't stand there and read their mail. What'd she say? I guess some mailmen do. But, you know, I mean, that seems wrong to me. That's between you and the person that wrote that. And so I don't really care if you get a hold of it. But if you don't, it's your own problem, because the gift came. I delivered the gift. I told you the truth. I didn't lie. There's one thing about me. I'm not fake. There's no fake in me. I'm wicked, but I'm not fake. Genuine wicked. But I'm also a believer. And those two things go together, interestingly enough. You can be wicked as a snake and be a Christian. Both of those. This is the only person I would ever trust. Someone who was both at the same time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't trust people that are just wonderful because I know they're lying. Or are just, you know, they don't say Jesus. I'm not going to trust that either. But you can say Jesus. If you do say Jesus, you're also going to say, God, forgive me. Now, there's one group of Christians out there that don't want to say anything negative. But I don't mind saying negative things. I used to get their customers that had to say something negative. I remember Carolyn Howard. Remember her? I remember her and her husband came, and they said, Pastor Jim, we're not allowed to say anything negative. Can we talk to you negatively? You know, you look like you're kind of fun. You know, can we say something negative? Yeah, sure. And so they would then say all the negative stuff that they couldn't say. That's neat. Isn't that powerful? Because there's, you see, people are just people are just people. They're just people are just people. They're just people. They're just like you and I. God never meant you to go through this holy door because you can't do it. He meant you to go through the merciful door. Then you'd be appreciative. You know, I am a very, very, one thing about me, I'm very appreciative. I'm a zealous person. I'm full of passion. I'm very passionate. Why? Because I'm grateful. Totally grateful. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I'm a praiser and I'm a thankful person and I'm an adorer. I can just adore God anywhere at any time. I do. I adore him. I love him. I'm very expressive. I don't care where I am in a store. I'll just, well, praise God. You know, I just do it. I just break out because I don't care who's listening and I don't care what you think. When you're a lover, you don't pay attention to people, right? When you're a lover, lovers don't care. Little kids don't care what the whole rest of the world's doing. They're the one they love. Do you all understand that? When you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you're just into that person. You're not looking around at the world and all the scenery and everything else. You're just looking at your beloved. I don't know why people go to those neat places on honeymoons. Because no matter where you go, you're just really looking at each other and just with each other, right? I mean, you could stay right here in a hotel. And now they're doing it better than when I did it. I remember the night we were married, we drove 300 miles to some romantic place, but it was midnight, you know, when we got there. And it's dark. And we were tired. You know, so the honeymoon was like, you want to go to sleep? Yeah, me too. And it was even worse than that. But anyway, you know, it's like, we were tired. I mean, now what they do is they stay in the Worthington or something. And that's great. That's very smart. You know, have your party all, and then just go, and you have still some time, you know. The way we did it was all wrong. It was awful. I remember saying to Peggy, I said, I remember thinking, now, I wasn't a Christian, but I knew you should say a prayer. I mean, I just thought of that. I thought, that sounds good, like a good start, you know, but I wasn't a Christian. So I said, when we got to the situation, it didn't seem appropriate. So I just skipped it. You know, now that was a bad way to start because I had planned on that, see? And then I just canceled that, you see, at the last minute because it didn't seem appropriate. I wasn't into God. I wasn't into that. You know, I was trying to get into it. So there you have it. Bad starts. How many know you've had a lot of bad starts? But God can fix up anything, renew anything, fix anything, forgive anything. Amen? Who cares how you started? Who cares how you got into it? Look, even when he comes back in judgment, it's only for those that didn't want it. I mean, anybody that wants it can have it. Because the judgment that we're afraid of or fearing is really to believe in Jesus. I mean, that's all he's ever been after. Is he doesn't want anyone to die. He's not coming back to say, okay, I hated you guys. You didn't accept me. What he's saying is, I offered you and you didn't want it. I mean, you have to deliberately not want to have God's goodness. His desire is not, oh good, I get to kill a lot of people. That's not God. His desire is, I want everybody to come in, but I'm a holy God. And so you have to do it the holy way, so I provided Jesus for that, so that you wouldn't have to do what you couldn't do or didn't do. And then I gave you the Holy Spirit so you could even have a evidence or a proof that you really were a Christian and not just saying you were. If you only got forgiven, but you never got the Holy Spirit, you would have no evidence or proof. Because all you'd have is legalistic works that you did to say, well, I'm a Christian because I go to church now. That's just legalism. Or, you know, we live together, but we don't love each other. That's just duty. That's not power. So you need the power. How many of you need the power of the Holy Spirit? You don't just need Jesus to forgive you for your sins and get rid of guilt. You also need some power to help you not to sin because it's fun to not sin. I mean, it's not any fun to sin. I mean, at first when I was younger, sin was fun. Sin was the fun way to go. I mean, I always wanted to sin. If you give me a choice between not sin and sin, I would take sin 100% of the time. Selfish 100% of the time. My way 100% of the time. But I learned after a while that didn't add up to happiness. But that dawned on me slowly. I thought a guy who could do anything he wanted, anytime he wanted, that would be happy. But it didn't work. Did anybody else discover that? You actually get to do your thing. You do the way you want to do it. It doesn't work. It doesn't produce happiness. So I found out, wait a minute, I don't trust myself because this is not leading to joy, happiness. Where do I get that? Well, I found out you couldn't get it. Well, that made me mad right there. So what do you mean I can't get it? That's what I want. I'll kill for it. Whatever I have to do, I want to be happy. Because it's a byproduct. It's not a goal. Oh, what's the thing you got to get that? Not Jesus, please don't tell me it's Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Oh, I knew it. I knew it. I'm not gonna do the Jesus thing to get that. That's one thing. Gosh, give me something else. No, that's it. You're stuck on that. Jesus. Oh, golly. It took me 7 years to think that out. I had to think about that for 7 years. Remember it said the guy sat down and he counted the cost? That's what I did. 7 years I counted the cost. Christian, no, I don't want to be one of those. I would rather go to hell. You know, I would rather keep sinning. I'm not going to buy that Jesus thing. Why would I want to be a hypocrite? They're miserable anyway. Have you ever seen a Christian God? Your people are miserable. They're not that much fun to be around. Are you following me? I mean, that did not look neat to me, because even the ones that looked like they kind of were spiritual to you, if you got real close to them, you realized they're just hypocrites. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? I mean, if you get close to a Christian, they're just really pagans, just kind of dressed up. So when it happened, it was a miracle. And I came alive for the first time. And it happened, by the way, at this time of year. It happened between Christmas and New Year's, 1970. I remember it. Oh, it was powerful. I met Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, first time in my life. I wasn't even looking for him. I really wasn't after him. I was trying to escape him. But once I met him, it was over. I realized, wow, I not only want Jesus to be my Savior, you can go ahead and be my Lord. Just don't ask me to help you. Just kind of do it your way. Kind of see if you can catch me if you can, because I'm not going to help out. And Jesus did. He kept after me. He kept after me. Does anybody else have that? Well, Jesus kind of keeps after you. Jesus, you're bugging me. I said, yeah, well, that's right, because you're a hard guy to catch. And I'm trying to tell you, I want you to be happy. I am happy. I'm happy. And when he asked me that question, are you happy? I realized, you know, I'm not. I'm not. No, I'm not. Are you doing everything you want? Yeah. Are you sinning all you want? Yeah. I'm a Christian going to heaven and sinning all the way there, and I'm still not happy. And it's like he's saying, well, did you ever figure maybe if you just submit to me? No, I don't want that. I'm not interested in that. I'll do every once in a while, I might do a little thing for you or something, but I'm not going to do it continuously. No, Jim, make me the Lord of your life. No, no. Potentially you are the Lord. I mean, I know you are the Lord. I know you're the Lord, but I'm not going to actually make you the Lord of my life practically, because then I wouldn't have any thoughts, I wouldn't have any emotions, I wouldn't have any life. You're getting it now. Just give me your life. Give me everything. No, not going to do it. Well, how are you doing without me? No good. Okay, you want to go with me? No. That's like, Jim, you're crazy. Do you see how crazy I was? You're not making it without me, and you don't want to try my way. No, because I'll be dead. I won't even be alive. Why would I trust you? I don't trust you. Get it? I trust you as Savior, but I don't trust you as Lord. How many trust Jesus as Savior, but you're having a little bit of trouble trusting him as Lord all the time? Yes. And it's just like he's saying, Jim, you can't have one without the other. Don't you want this one? No. Why do you trust me for salvation, but you won't trust me for Lord? I don't know, because I like being alive. What good are you doing? Nothing. It's still, I know you're right, but I still like living my own life. I love it. What does it amount to? Nothing. I admit that. It doesn't amount to happiness or joy. I just won't let go of it. That's how devious we are. Did you know how devious we are? We are treacherous people. We're Christians, but we're treacherous. But he wasn't mad at me. He was just simply saying, Jim, I don't want you to obey me. I'm just saying, trust me. Well, I do. I do. I do. No, no, no. Jim, really trust me. Just trust me. Just from now on, just let me have your thoughts, me have your emotions, me have your desires. I don't want to give up mine. Jim, come on, they're not doing anything. I know they're not. I know they're vain and evil and empty and so on and so forth. But I just hate letting people walk all over me. You can trust me, I'll take care of you. Yeah, but you don't really come through like I would like. If you could be more reliable. How many know that when you ask God for stuff right early, it comes a little late? Did anybody discover that? I mean, forget the theories. Let's talk real now. I fasted the other day, and what did you do? Nothing. I read your Bible for 3 hours. Where were you? I paid you off. And then, oh yeah, that's right, you can't pay God off. You know, and after a while, you begin to realize, wow, what am I doing? And one day it hits you, God, you're the Lord of my life. And that happened 6 months later. I remember exactly the time. I remember when I became a believer, Christmas, and I remember 6 months later, I gave him the Lord of my life. I remember I was on 820 right here. I remember exactly where it was, when it was. Jesus, from now on, whatever I think, I'll take your thought. Whatever I feel, I'll take your feeling. Whatever I want, I'll take your want. Literally. You got, I don't know how many other people you got. You got me. I'm dead now. I will say what you want me to say, do what you want me to do, feel what you want me to feel, go to bed when you want me to go to bed, wake up, I'll just do anything you say. So let's see. I don't know what's going to happen, but let's see what's going to happen, because I've ruined my life anyway, so you might as well try this other way. You know what I'm saying? And I literally, I knew I was all alone. I didn't think there were thousands of others. I didn't know there was anybody. I said, geez, I hate being the first one to try it. You know, and it's kind of like, there are 7,000 others. Okay, well, could you show me one? And he didn't. He didn't. But I remember the minute I gave him my life, the next day I was miraculously healed. Just short time later, I met Robert Mowery, and all of a sudden, my life just, it was just incredible how encouraging God was, because I yielded to him. I remember that specifically. It was powerful. That was May, no, what's the last day of whatever's before May? April? It was the last day of April, because it was May 1 or 2 that I was healed at the Catherine Coleman thing here. Miraculously healed, sitting right next to Dino. I was. I mean, literally, my knees were up against his bench, and he's sitting right here. And she was just, you know, 10 feet out. And she said, first words out of her mouth when she stood up, because I was excited. I was going, I could believe anything. I was just really pumped. I said, what, you know, I wish I had a sickness. That's what I was hoping. Gosh, I wish I was sick. Because I could right now, I could believe it. I could believe it. Did you ever been like that? Anyway, so she said these words. Someone is being healed of a spinal condition. I remembered it. Someone is being healed. And I thought, God, I wish I had one of those. I remembered. Oh, my God. I have one of those. I've had that since I was a little kid doing gymnastics and stuff and cracked my back and all that stuff. And yeah, I have a spinal condition. And then I remembered Ken Copeland. I didn't even believe in the guy. But I remember he said something about you have to say it. So I said it under my breath, but I said it. I believe that. I'll take that. I remember saying it like that. I mean, it was just like a trick or something. I mean, I didn't even know if I believed it, but I just did it. I didn't do a lot of thinking. So all of a sudden, I believe in that. Boom. I felt my back immediately. And I'd read in his book, or somebody's book, it's like heat on your back. You know, like little fingers articulating your back like that. Mine was like cold. And it didn't make any difference because it was all happening so fast I didn't have time to think about it. I just realized, well, that was wrong. This one's right. You know, but so I felt that just like Jesus, like a chiropractor, articulating my back for the first time in, I don't know, 20 years or whatever, some long time. I was totally relaxed like a baby. I mean, and I knew if I've actually been healed, because my shoes loosened, that's the first thing I noticed. Whoa, I could just feel my feet were just miraculously loosened, like somebody untied my shoes. And I just relaxed like that. And then I thought, well, then my neck won't, because my neck would go like this. You know, because you couldn't turn it. And Peggy, every night of my life, Peggy had to walk on my back, literally. She would have to walk on it. I was doing that every night. We would do that because I'd read in Hippocrates, or one of the old guys, you can walk on the lumbar region of the back without hurting it. So I said, okay, get on my back. Okay, lose some weight, that's too heavy. But then it finally cracked. Oh, that feels good. That's good. Okay, that's good. Stay right there. Don't move. That would be our daily ritual. Do you all understand? But in that moment, I was miraculously healed. And I used to be a gymnast. I mean, all kinds of things. And so I could hardly wait to get out of there. I didn't want to go up and witness or anything. I just wanted to get out of there because I knew I was healed. And I was just so excited because I was standing on my feet for the first time in whatever amount of years it was, because I was in high school when this all happened. And I went outside the Coliseum or whatever that thing is, convention center, and I jumped in the bushes because they have bushes there. And I used to do a lot of floor gymnastics and stuff. And I jumped and did a flip and all this kind of stuff. And I was perfectly healed, and I knew it. That's powerful. I'm just telling you, miracle after miracle began to happen. And when that happens, that's an exciting, powerful thing. I believe in Jesus, but now I was actually experiencing his presence. Has that ever happened to you? You actually experienced a miraculous presence. Well, it didn't happen just in one thing. It was another thing and another thing and another thing. It was just too much. It was like, God, I can't believe it. I'm totally a different world now. Not me. I don't want to be me anymore. This is the world I want to live in forever. Do y'all have that world? And I realized, you know what? Nothing is impossible. It wasn't because of the miracle. As I know, you can forget a miracle in 5 minutes. Then, by the way, I did. But I learned, you know what? I'm not going to sweat it, because God's going to lead me and train me. And although I'm totally unworthy, I believe Jesus likes me. That was powerful. Do y'all have that? Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. He's a king. And kings do neat things for you. This King Jesus is going to give you everything. I don't care what it is you want. He'll give it to you. Whatever's good for you, he'll give it. He's not going to withhold any good thing. If you're sick, a lady was sick this morning, she called up. You know, we prayed for her. If you're sick, okay, you can get that. Or money or people, relationships, I don't know, whatever you want. But you know what? I don't care about the stuff or the things. It's amazing just to have a relationship with a God that loves you and cares for you. Those are nothing. Those are just signs. I believe in signs, but I'm not focused on them. I don't need them to believe in him. Because I believe in him, I get those for nothing. Amen? I remember, though, I made him the Lord of my life. The moment I said to him, literally, Jesus, from now on, if I have a thought and you tell me that's not your thought, I'm going to take your thought. If I have a feeling and it's not your feeling, if I'm feeling afraid, for example, I'll give it up. I mean, that is lordship. Because you give up, you don't have a life after that. Because he's your whole life. You know, you don't make any decisions. I don't make decisions. I don't get to make any decisions. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I do, they're sinful. I mean, you shouldn't. So what I'm saying is, from now on, it's like there aren't any decisions. I don't say, well, do I have to love Barb? I can't say that because it's already decided. See, so I don't get to decide. Do you all understand what I'm saying? What a wonderful way to live. I don't have to think anymore. That is actually a blessing. I don't have to walk in a room and say, who likes me here? I used to do that. You walk in, I hate her. Okay, I'll be over here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you had to size everything up right away. Yeah, I'm going over here, this person. Now you can walk in anywhere, anytime. You don't have to like anybody, know anybody, feel comfortable. I don't care. Why? Jesus does. Praise the Lord. God is good. I gave you a real nice little writing there. You can read it on your own. It shows why we do what we do. Father God, we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. And we give you, Lord God, the worship due your name. For you are truly good and great and glorious. And the best is yet to come. We haven't even seen the best. We haven't even seen the best. The best is yet to come. Your second coming is going to be with fanfare. It's going to be so powerful and glorious. And the whole earth is going to be reaped. And I thank you, Lord God, that we're going to see Hindus and Buddhists and witchcraft and Satanists and Christians and Jewish and everything, all going to come to you. And people that hated you are going to bow down and praise you. People that pierced you are going to weep and give praise to your holy name. And I thank you, Lord, that we're part of that great and glorious company, that you took the trouble to come down and wrestle with us and bless us and give us the best day after day, minute after minute. We couldn't have a more heavenly life than we have. I thank you, Lord. I'm not hastening the day at all. Take your time. This is wonderful. I love you, Lord. I love your people. I love our enemies. I love just the way everything is rigged up. I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Merry Christmas.